Shabbos. It's one of the most complex topics. And
it'll give us a basic view and opportunity to go over the halachas with regard to the laws of Shabbos, and at the same time to expand on it with regard to the laws of Yontif. If you have questions, please feel free to ask. And here we go. Before I forget, you know, the mincha is moving on very rapidly. So, Mitzvah Hashem, I would only ask you if you would indulge me that Mitzvah Hashem next week we'll have the class at 7:45. Okay? It's getting closer and closer, but 7:45, if that's okay with you. Does that meet with your approval? And I'll be, you know, we'll do it quick and good, to the point. And Mitzvah Hashem, yeah, I won't keep you too long. Okay? This evening I would like to discuss the halachas of Borer, selecting. And possibly, if we can, another topic of halach, if time permits. Number one, Borer. Borer is selecting. Where does the halach of Borer come from? It's one of the 39 Ovos of Malachos, one of the 39 principles of Malachos, of activity that's not permitted to be done in the Mishkan. The function of Borer, where it gets its origin from, it was the dyes that were manufactured in the times of the Mishkan, in the Midbar, were D-Y-E-S, were used to go ahead and dye the coverings of the animals. The animals, you know, the skins, and they were used to cover the Ohel Moed, the tent of the meeting place. And these dyes were manufactured, were processed from a mixture and an extract of vegetables and nuts. Vegetables and nuts. And mixed into those vegetables and nuts was dirt, you know, and other stones, other impurities. Now, in order to be able to, when they harvested it, the nuts and the vegetables, since this was mixed in, it required to separate from the nuts and the vegetables to separate these two items. The stones and the dirt. Hence, we have now the malacha of Borer. Borer is what? Selecting. Selecting. What did they select? They selected the nuts and the vegetables and discarded the psoles, which was the stones and the dirt. Okay? Now you know what Borer is, or at least where the origin is. The halacha, as you know many times in Shabbos, not only speaks about the specifics of what the original Borer revolved around, but rather applied also as well to other situations that were not necessarily involved with food or with dye making, and hence we have Borer both on edible items and Borer on non-edible items. Okay? For example, you know the halacha of Borer is your child is, you want them Shabbos morning to get up early, an early start. You'd like them to dress themselves. And so what do? You tell them before they go to sleep, yeah, please, yeah, set aside what kind of clothes you're going to choose and take it out of the dresser, take it out of the closet, so in the morning you'll have everything ready to go. You hear such a thing? Borer. Doesn't work. Even if you do it in a permissible fashion, the halacha of Borer requires that it be done immediately, before the requirement or the necessity of the use that you have in mind. You cannot be Borer at night for the morning. You can't be Borer the morning for the afternoon. You can't be Borer the afternoon. You have to do it the meal before, right? Before, as you're preparing the meal, right? I'm preparing, let's say, a lavish lunch. So it's whatever time is necessary to prepare that lunch or whatever else is necessary, I'm able to do Borer. I'm able to separate or do whatever's necessary in the preparation before that meal that's coming up. But I can't go ahead, you understand, from the night before, go ahead and start preparing for the morning. Yeah, that is not permitted. Not only is it talking about food, but it's also talking about non-edible items carries the same halacha as well. Therefore, I'll give you an example that's really out of spot, out of space if you don't know. If I go to here Friday night And I'm going to go come early in the morning to shul, but I want to make sure that I get a certain sefer. So I go into the library, and I look for Mikros Gedolos on Vayikra. So I look through the shelf, I scan the shelf, and I'm looking for a specific sefer. I take it out Friday night before I go to shul and put it on my shtender. Borer. I'm not allowed to do that. What happened? I sought it out from a group, a specific item, and put it away for use for the morning. I can't do that. Practical application. There's a way to get around that. It's legal. When you take the sefer, make sure you read it. You take Vayik, I read a pasuk. So I didn't take it for the use exclusively for the morning, but I take down the chumash, and I have intention. I read a pasuk, I read a pasuk, chumash Rashi. I used it for now. In that way, I serve my purpose as well. Okay? Okay, I just want to go through the principles and then I'll take all the halachas at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, all the shaylos. Okay, then we have what? Borer is an open field. I mean, it is unbelievable. Okay, so borer is the process of selecting, you know, either selecting or sorting out, yeah, one item from among a number of items. Silverware, big problem, borer. Got to be careful with silverware, right? The way to go ahead, if you want to set your table, you know, you have to be very, very careful, you know. If, let's say, I want to go ahead and put things back, you know, in the drawer, so you don't take out all the forks. That's a very big problem. Take out all the forks from a whole pile that you can't go ahead and do. Can't take out all the forks from a specific pile. What you have to do is that whatever comes into your hand, you know, I pick this up, and whatever is in my hand, I put back. Whatever comes into my hand, I put back. Whatever comes into my hand, I put in. So I never separated, really. I never specifically looked for one thing versus another. But whatever came into my hand, you know, I put in its appropriate place. But if I'm looking for specific things among all the silverware, I'm looking only for forks, that means I am separating the forks from the rest. That's a problem. That's the act of borer. Okay? Now, let's talk halacha lemaisa, practical application. How in the world could I do borer, you understand, in a permissible fashion? And let us talk, for instance, you know, about the morning. Child gets up in the morning. A man gets up in the morning. He wants to choose a tie. Don't choose the tie at night, you do it in the morning. Number one, three conditions. Just remember, miyad, biyad, right? What does miyad mean? Miyad means what? For immediate use. Biyad means how do you do it, the borer? Don't use a kli, don't use a vessel, okay? Give you an example. What would be a vessel that you do borer with? Every year, somebody gets a question like this, you know? I'm going to ask you, are you allowed to use a peeler on Shabbos? Are you allowed to peel a carrot on Shabbos? It's always nice to start a class with something that gets a little fidgety, you know? Yeah? Peelers, I want you to know that I was in the house of a Rosh Hashiva who used a peeler. Most people hold you cannot use a peeler on Shabbos. A peeler is a kli that's miyuchad. Miyuchad means what? That's designed to be borer, to do borer, to do what? To separate. What's the separation here? You're separating the what? The peel from the carrot. And so that you're using a kli. You can't use it. You can use a knife, because a knife is not miyuchad, is not designated for the purpose of separating the peel from the item. But a peel you cannot use on Shabbos. It's a kli, miyuchad, and you cannot use a kli on Shabbos. You have to separate. Even if it's what? For immediate use. And you're separating what? The good from the bad. It can't work. So number one, keep away from kli, keep away from a keli. Another example about a kli that people said that the halacha requires that you have to be careful about it, you know, is even if you take fish, right, and you want to drain the juice, you hear, or you want to go ahead and hold back the juice or whatever and take a, and you want to go ahead and use the top of a can, tuna, right? And let's say you opened it before Shabbos. You need to go through tuna, you know. First, could I open the can? And then after, could I open the can and I'm going to use the thing? And then I'm going to do this. And then wait till we get out, because next week or this week or whatever time, we're going to do lush. Lush, you know what I mean? Lush is kneading. So, you know, you start with tuna. It's a beautiful example. You bring in tuna, you got it sorrow with the can. After you got the sorrow with the can, you got the oil or the water you want to separate. Are you allowed to use the cover? And even if by the time you got past the what I quote again, you have the tuna out. Not it gets worse. After you get the tuna out, what happens? You can put the mayonnaise in. But the mayonnaise is an ether of lush. Lush is what? It's kneading. It's mixing together. How do you do that? We'll talk about it. You know what I mean? The difference between Yontif and Shabbos. And then if you want to cut the onions, but the onions, if you cut it too fine, so you have another Easter, you have another problem. Basically, as I tell all the time, everything should be ready before Shabbos. That's the way you get through all the Shabbos. Everything before Shabbos, right? This is the way. But Yontif, there are many, many, many halachas that you'll find regarding these matters that you will see as great leniency. And you're going to leave today, I think, quite happy. Good question. There's a Mishnah Berurah that says that you're allowed to go ahead, even though there is a zerem. You can't take the item and put it in. You can't put it into, we can't submerge it in water. Let's say a thing is dirty. You know, it has, you know, you want to wash it off. You can't submerge it in water. But Mishnah Berurah brings down that you're allowed to put it under a zerem of mayim. What is zerem of mayim? It's a flow of water.
But can you then put it into a strainer?
No, you cannot use a strainer, right. On Shabbos. Okay? Okay, where are we holding now? We're holding now, let's talk about Shabbos. What are the three conditions? Let's go. Let's go over it again. What are the three conditions, Jody? Number one, condition number one is what? It has to be for immediate use. Number two, what does it have to be for? It has to be with your hand, not to use a kli. And the third condition, you're always separating the good from the bad, never the bad from the good. The way in which it's done during the week, the way this thing is prepared usually, is you take the bad from the good, right? You have a thing, and therefore you take the bad, you know, the impurities, whatever it is, and you leave the good. I'll give you a very good example, you know. You're a balabasta. You're having guests coming over, you know, for lunch or after lunch. They want to come over, you know, for tea. You have, somebody's giving a shiur. And there you have grapes. And you take out, you know, a cluster of grapes. Now, there's nothing that hurts the eyes of a person as much as one or two rotten grapes. You know what I mean? In this beautiful, am I right? Right? I don't get involved in this too much. Yeah, but I could imagine it's a little bit of an eyesore when you have a few of these, you know, interspersed grapes that are really look shriveled. So what do you do? Now, what you can't take off the ones that are rotten, yeah, from the good. That is borer. You're separating one from the other. The only way you can do it is take off all the good and leave behind the two rotten ones. That has no pun altogether. You know, that's the worst. So you got a problem, people will know, you put up a sign, this house runs according to halacha. That's what you basically have to put your hair, and this is it, you know what I mean? That's all, and they'll understand. You're not a bad balabasta, you're a great balabasta. You have, however, you are a halachic person, okay? So this is it. All right, so we got now the three principles, how it works. Let's say you go, this is where the origin of gefilte fish came from. The history of gefilte fish, because there was a shiloh of bones. Right? Some people are allergic to bones. I don't mean literally, you know, but yeah. And so if you take the bones out from the fish, so what are you taking? You're taking the psolis, that which is, you know, what you seek to discard. You're removing it from the what? From the ochel, from the edible. That's a problem. You always have to take the what? The edible from the what? from that which you discard. For instance, there's some people that take the chicken, yeah, they take a quarter of a chicken, let's say they'll take the white meat, you can take the white meat off the bone. Because what are you doing? You're taking the ochel from the psoles, and you're discarding the, you know, the bone, right, and then you're keeping the meat yourself, okay? This is an overview of the laws of Shabbos. How does this relate to Yom Tov? Well, Yom Tov, we learned that that which is ochel nefesh, which is necessary for the purpose of eating, right? We learned last week the Torah specifically permits for that which is necessary to eat, melachos, those activities which on Shabbos are prohibited, are permitted on Yom Tov, right? The one we discussed last week, remember the one that we went through last week? Which was the halacha that we did last week. Which should we discuss, you know, regarding? Yeah? We talk about talking out of freezer. Right? We went through the principles, right? We spoke about carrying. Remember? The malach of carrying. That carrying, even though what? Carrying is mutter on what? On yontif, even without a what? An eriv. Because it's necessary for the purpose of transportation, of food, or to be able to bring food or carry food from the oven, the communal oven, whatever it is, you need to be able to carry. However, the idea of carrying also carried with it another dispensation, which we'll bring up again, mitoch. Remember what we said, mitoch? Since it was permissible to carry for the use of food, we permit carrying even for those things that warrant food related. For example, a man wants to take to shul, you understand, his lulav and esrog. Or you want to take, you understand, you're going to a neighbor for lunch, you can take for your baby, you can take the wipes, you can go ahead and take the Pampers. That's not food, but you're allowed, because since it was permitted to carry it for the need of eating, it was extended and it was permitted to be carried also for another use that is not directly related to food usage. The only condition and provision we mentioned last week was that it has to be for a yontif purpose. It cannot be for a purpose that has nothing to do with yontif. You understand? But if it has a yontif function and purpose, it was permitted to be done. Let's now go to yontif. You're ready to go to hit the big time. Let's talk about what? The halacha of borer. Now, borer, separating. With regard to borer on Yom Tov itself, the halacha is as follows, that as far as immediate use is concerned, there is no halacha of immediate use on Yom Tov regarding borer. No halacha. What does that mean? You can go ahead and separate from the night for shalosh shuris. On a yontif, if there's no shalosh shuris, but theoretically, if there would be a shalosh shuris, you can go from the night, you can go to the what? To the next day. You can't go from one day to the next. Why can't you go from one day to the next? Because that's a separate halach. What's the problem from going to day one to day two? That's not a problem of borer. That's a problem that we learned last week called what? Hachana. You cannot prepare from one day Yom Tov for the next. But within the same day itself, time is no issue. So where you can prepare, even in a permissible fashion by borer, using what? No vessel, and taking the good from the bad. I'm not taking the bad from the good. I'm taking the good from the bad. I'm taking no vessel. I'm taking the chicken off the bone with my hand or with a fork, which is okay. And I'm doing it, the good from the bad, I'm taking the chicken from the bone. The halacha is, if it's not for immediate use for that meal, if I'm preparing for the next day for my child, that the night I'm preparing for the next day so that my child should have it right away when he gets up in the morning, a piece of chicken, it is not permissible. Yontif, no problem. There is no din of miyad, of immediacy. Kli, vessel, no problem. Generally speaking, you're able to use the proverbial peeler. Any vessel. You like that, Jody, huh? What? Okay. Okay, you only want to be on the record at all, okay. Yeah? Any vessel. Right? Okay, a vessel that is used, right? The halacha is like this, a vessel that is used, yeah, that specifically prepares an item for one day's use. It's not something that's an industrial vessel or a vessel, you know, that takes large, you know, a large measure of a food, but anything that's used only for the specific food that you have, like a peeler, you know, when you peel one at a time. So a peeler you're able to go ahead and use, the halacha is there's no problem. Are you allowed to use a strainer on Yontif? Yeah, yes or no? Yeah? Yeah? Now, I'll give you another example that you're allowed to use on Yontif. What about, yeah, you have a corn salad. The corn salad has the corn, and it has on the bottom, it has the liquid. Or you have tomato. My wife makes a tomato salad. Well, tomatoes, you know, with a puts in some other stuff in it, the vinegar, I don't know what she puts in it. And, you know, I'm trying to think, you know, right? And she puts in some, you know, sounds like radishes, but it's scallions. She puts in scallions. So what's the halacha? What's the halacha? And in the bottom, there's a lot of juice that collects. So you have this big spoon, and it's perforated, you know? It has holes in it. So, you know, on Shabbos, you can't put that in. Because what are you doing there? You are separating, yeah, the ochel, the food from the psolet. You're doing good in that respect, but how are you making this separation? You're separating the food from that which you don't want, which is the what? Which is the gravy, the juice, whatever's on the bottom, but you're using a specific kli, yeah, for that purpose. Halacha is on Shabbos. No. Yantif? No problem. Let's talk about tuna fish. You want to go ahead and use the cover to go ahead and hold back the water? Don't worry about it. It's okay. It's okay.
Watermelon seeds?
What? Well, watermelon seeds. There are different heterim with watermelon seeds. You know, when we had a class on it, you know, we have a tape on that, don't we? Some people do the old, you know what, you know what? Okay, we'll go over the principles, then we'll see, we'll apply it, see how it works out. Okay, now. So what do we have now? You don't have to do it immediately, right? It could be any time for usage during that day. Number two is you can use a what? Generally a kli. Now we're talking about case number three, okay? Whew. I'll give you another good example. What if you want a coffee pot with filter? Are you allowed to do that? You want to make coffee on Shabbos, on Yontif? You put the coffee in the top. Going to make coffee on your fresh coffee. And you put it on the top and it filters and it drips down. You allowed? Yeah. Yeah. She never smiles as much. I'm telling you, she's so happy. Yeah? You could also do that. Okay? All right? There's nothing wrong. Because why? There is no, you're allowed to use a clay. Tov. We don't want to make it harder than necessary. So now we got what? A kli you're allowed to use. Yeah, generally. You're allowed to go ahead. It doesn't have to be for the same day usage. For the same, you know, one right for immediacy. The only problem we're going to have, and this you have to listen to carefully, is the halacha with regard from good from bad and bad from good. And this is what I'm going to show you today. Let's assume, yeah, let's take an example, right? I have the grapes. Okay? Grapes. What's the halacha? Good grapes, bad grapes. Right? Rotten grapes, right? And good grapes. Shabbos, what do? You're stuck. What do you do on Yontif? No problem. On Yontif, what could you do? Where is Shabbos? You have to take the good from the bad. On Yontif, you're even allowed to do what? You're allowed to take the bad from the good. You don't just have to take the good from, you can take the bad from the good. So on Yontif, what could you do? You can separate and take the bad grapes and pull them off. No problem. That's the halacha. You take the bad from the good. You have any mixture of those type of items that are together like that, you can take even the bad from the good. Now, there is a second principle. And the second principle is known, yeah, let's assume, yeah, that there is more bad than there's good. What do you do then? Let's say there's more bad than good. What's the halacha then? If there's more bad than good, you should take the good and not the bad. Because even though the halacha, why? Because if there is more tircha, if there's more difficulty in taking the good from the, taking the bad from the good, then you have to take the good from the bad. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? So it, look how much tircha, what is what? Tircha is the factor. Tircha determines, effort determines what you're going to pick. Good and bad is not the issue. What is the issue? Tircha and no tircha. So if what? It's easy to take the bad from the good. What are you going to take? It's easy to take the bad from the good. What do you take? The bad. If it's easy to take the good from the bad, what are you going to take? You take the good. Sometimes even if it's less, yeah, give you an example, yeah, let's say I have string beans and slivers of fine almonds, right? That's where you come from, right? Right, you know what those are? Those, that they like to make that, you know, they give it a fancy French name, you know, you pay it, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, and you go ahead and you put those slivers, and you don't, you have, you're allergic to the what? You're allergic to almonds. You come to somebody's house, and you're allergic. But I like the string beans, but I can't take the almonds. So now over here, which one is the more? We hear which one is greater in number? Well, the greater in number is the what? Is the string beans. So the halacha would be simply that maybe you should go ahead and take what? So what would be the halacha here? So the halacha is that in this case over here, since the almonds, right, and the lesser in number is the what? Is the almonds. But since the almonds themselves are so fine, it may be more difficult to take the almonds, even though they're lesser in number, than to take the greater number of the what? Of the string beans. So therefore the halacha is, if it's something that's very fine and difficult, in spite of the fact that it's lesser in number, then what should you take? Take the one that's greater in number, because in the long run, it's easier to take out the what? The string beans and leave behind the almonds than to start schlepping through and looking for every small almond, then you have trouble. So you got the principle, right? What do you take all the time when you're borer? You always take that which is what? Less difficult. That's all. Very simple halacha. But you're not restricted by what? Taking the what? The good from the bad. Many times you can take the bad from the good, providing what? It's less difficult. Whichever one pros less difficulty, that's the criteria. If they're both the same, they represent both the same difficulty, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? The halacha is you do what? You have your choice. You can take the good from the bad and the bad from the good. Whatever you want to do, it's your choice. Voila. You have basic halacha saborer. Okay? Okay. There's only one complication. You didn't think you're going to get out unscathed, did you? There's one little stickle complication. One little, you know, yeah. That if something, you know, could be prepared and separated the day before, that would be preferable. You should do that. In other words, if it's something that won't compromise the food and there's space in the refrigerator and you don't have any complications, it's better to go ahead and to separate the item before Yontif if it is possible, and if this was possible, right? If you're able to separate the good from the bad before Yontif, the halacha is that you should do that. Okay? All right. But if you, well, that's pretty complicated. And, all right, there are certain items that maybe, you know, may be able to do that, and, you know, that you should have consideration, give thought to. For instance, I want to give you an example. Let's say you have chicken soup, and you have vegetable, and you have, you know, the stuff on the bottom. You want to separate the soup from the thing. You want to use a strainer. You'd be allowed to do it, theoretically. Put through the strainer, put through the soup, leave behind the what? All the vegetables. But if you could have done it without problems, before Yontif, without compromising anything, then the halacha would be that it would be definitely preferable, and one should try to do it. One should, in fact, do it before Yom Tov. Okay? Okay. I just want to add one further halacha to the halacha of Borer, is that there is a machlokas, a difference of opinion. Do we say mitoch, shehutra l'tzorach, hutra shelo l'tzorach? You know what that means? Since on Yom Tov, what am I doing? When it comes to food, I'm prepared to do what? To separate, and we don't look at what? If it's good from bad, bad from good, we don't look at time frames either. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you allowed on Yom Tov to go ahead and tell your child to separate their clothes on the night for the usage in the morning? Yes or no? Halacha is, according to most poskim, unfortunately, we don't make this extension. So you can't take a sefer, a book. You can't take a machzor. You can't borer, separate from the night for the morning. You can't separate clothes items and the night for the morning. You can't do any of these activities other than that which itself, you hear, is food related, is food. That's the halacha. So even though in certain situations we do extend it, we do not extend it by borer. For every rule, there's always a what? An exception. Okay? Somebody asked me a very interesting question. I have to research it. I'm not sure. I don't have the answer off my... Yeah, it'll take me a little time to do. But they asked me about silverware. Silverware, you know, is food-related. Do we say that silverware, that you're able to go ahead and separate? I don't think so. I think it's those things, machshirei ochel nefesh, are those things that are used in the preparation of food. Because I think the halach is that you're allowed to sharpen a knife on Yom Tov. But since I have to go ahead and do what? Cut the thing, cut the food, so I'm allowed to sharpen a knife on Yom Tov. But this is not the same thing to separate the silverware. It doesn't seem to me that that would be, because it's not used in the direct preparation of food. Seems it.
So you're saying that on Friday night for Shabbos, you cannot set the table the night before Shabbos lunch. Is that correct? That's what you're saying.
No, you can. You just have to do it the other
way. There's a way to do it. What you do is you take the pile of... Wait, one second. You're not saying deep. If, for instance, you take it out of the silverware, out of the tray, and it's already separated, the forks from one place, the spoons from another, the knives from another, then it's okay. Because what am I doing? I'm not separating. They were separated already. That's no problem. There's no hachana. Remember, there's no din of hachana on Shabbos from what? Preparation from the night to the morning. There's only a problem which would be borer. What would borer be? Borer would be if, let's say, you understand, they all came out of the washer, right? The dishwasher. They all came out how? They all came out together. So your kid did you a favor. You know? And like they have that game, you know what I mean? That they used to go ahead and put those little sticks, you know, all along, you know what I mean? So they have these things. He puts in, you know, 50, 60 pieces of silverware together. And now what happens Friday night? Your kid tells you what? Yeah, you tell the kid, go ahead, yeah, and set the table. And so they tell him, I need two forks, one spoon, one little spoon, and a knife. So what does the kid go do? Vase garnish. So the kid goes, you know, well, now at this setting, I need two forks, I need a spoon, soup spoon, and I need a regular spoon. And the kid directly goes to take out biyad with the hand, right? No kli, using his hand, right? No kli, there's no, right? But what's the problem? He's taking the one that he wants. He's taking the ochel mitoch hapsoles. He's doing the formula is correct. He's taking the one that he wants, the good from the bad. The good being, in this case, what? I specifically want a fork and not anything else, but he's missing the third condition. What's the third condition? It's not for usage immediately, because the child is setting the table on Friday night for Shabbos morning usage. Can't work. So how do you do it? You tell the child, or you tell yourself, or you tell your husband, or you tell whoever wants, you tell them, yeah, you go ahead and take out, yeah, whatever comes into your hand. That's what I'll do. So I don't care what comes into my hand. So therefore, I'm going to take whatever comes. Pull out a fork. Put a fork. I'm putting it here. comes out of where I had another fork, another big fork. I'm not going to put two big forks in the same place setting. I take the second fork, and where do I put it? The next place setting. I take out another thing, and that's it. So I case up random. Whatever comes into my hand is okay. That's fine. What? What do you mean? How do you have too many forks?
In other words, you randomly pick it up and you finish setting it.
So then you put it aside. I have no problem with that. That's good.
Why not?
You can put it in the slot. You have whatever you have in the end. You can put it up. Let's say I want to put it back in the slot after it's finished. Right? I wash them, put them back in, whatever it is. And then I want to put them back. But how do I put it back? You don't go ahead and take out each one and say, well, now I'm going to get all the forks and put them together and put it back into the tray. I'm going to take all the spoons now and take it out of the pile and put it back in the tray. You take out whatever comes into your hand, and appropriately you put it in, you understand, into the tray as it comes into your hand. You got around it. It's perfectly legal. I mean, it's not like a circumvention, you know, type trick. Okay? That's the way you do it. That's the way you do Borer. Because that's not Borer. You're not selecting. The top of that is, you're not selecting. I can go here Friday night. I want to go ahead and put away a siddur because why? I'm afraid by the time I come through, there'll be no siddurim. So what do? I make sure I go like this, whatever it is. I didn't go look for a specific siddur. Whatever comes into my hand, I do. I can take this now Friday night before I leave shul, put in my stand is good. My only trouble is if I'm looking for one that has a cover. Or I'm looking for a Sansino rather than a Hertz. That's Borer, because what am I doing? From the unit, the group, I'm selecting one versus what? Versus another. For use when? Not for immediate use, but for use later. But when I come into shul in the morning, I could, because why? It is Borer. Borer, but who says Borer is not prohibited? Do it in a permissible fashion. I'm doing it miyad with my hand. I'm doing it miyad. Yeah, immediate use. And number three, I'm selecting the good from the bad. What's the good from the bad? The one that I want is called good. And that you're allowed to do. When somebody brings around a meat platter, you're selecting, you want the what? The tongue. You don't like tongue? I love it. So expensive. $14 a pound. Oh, you didn't know that? You mean just a big tongue? Yeah, make it yourself. Yeah, it's also pretty expensive. Tongue. There used to be a time they used to throw tongue away. You know that? Became a delicacy. Yeah? So you have a whole thing and it comes around one of these platters with all the different foods on them. You're allowed to take it off. I'm separating. No problem. Biyad with my hand. Hand means also use the fork there. Number two, what? Yeah. Biyad, miyad. And I'm doing the good from the bad. What is defined good from bad? The one that I want is defined as good. Bad, you hear, means, you hear, the one that I've chosen not to take. That's it, that you're allowed to do. Now, are you allowed to go ahead and take this meat platter, Mrs. Katz? At the end of it, you have a bar mitzvah, you know, the kids came over, you had a bat mitzvah, your daughter was bar mitzvah Shabbos, she spoke beautifully, just gorgeous, she did terrific. And then you have the meat platter there, and now you want to put it away for what? You want to put it away for after Shabbos. And what do you want to do? You want to separate the different meat items. You want to put the tongue together. You want the roast beef together. You want the salami together. You want that's it. The turkey together. That's problems. Why? Even though you're doing it biyad with your hand, right? And you're separating, you know, the ones that you want. Yeah, I want now only tongue pieces, so everyone I'm taking is the good from the bad. But I got a problem. What am I separating it for? Not for now. I'm separating for long-term use. Voila, I've got a problem.
So how do you do that?
How do you do that?
You don't. You just put it on
the way. The only way you can do that is think it's the same way as the silverware.
Take whatever piece
comes, and then you can put whatever you want. So you're not just picking up the tongue pieces. You're not picking up. It's like the silverware.
At a time, you can only do one piece
at a time. Because then when you have the clump in your hands, you're clumping from there. You know, see what I'm saying? You're clumpy gut.
Right.
A clump of tongue is good. But if it's a clump that has 10 pieces, right? And within these 10 pieces, there's a piece of tongue, a piece of roast beef, then you've got problems.
Nobody ate it. They still have the same clump that you served it with.
So then it's all together, right? That's okay. I have no problem with that. But they're not together.
They're in the same place, but they're segregated in their own little clump.
They'll separate their own separate things. That's okay.
Right.
Yeah. Okay?
Setting the table.
I thought we did good.
Well, we did do good, but it's a question that I still have. Because you said you want to prepare for the next day from the night. So Friday night for Shabbos lunch. It's still Shabbos, that's right.
Okay.
It's not for the next day. It's still Shabbos.
Right.
Okay. That's the one thing I need to clear up.
You understand? Yeah. Hachana is only from one day to the next, but never from Friday night to the morning. It's never Hachana.
When you're doing chicken soup, you can then do boer. In other words, if, as you're putting out, you know, that someone likes celery or whatever, and in your soup, celery, they don't like celery, and in your soup you put carrots and whatever, and there was a piece of celery. Are you allowed to take that celery out of that soup and put it back in the pot then?
Yes.
Only on Yontif and not on Yontif Shabbos.
Right. Well, on Shabbos, do they don't like, I mean, they don't like the celery.
Right.
No, you've got a problem.
Right, unless you take good with the bad.
The only way you can get around that on Shabbos is that you take the good and the bad together.
But
on Yontif, you got no problem.
No problem.
Because there's no borer in that respect. You can take the good from the bad from the good. The only thing you got to worry about is only the issue of tircha. You understand? Whichever one is easier to do, that's the one you do. I think we got these halachas well, no? They're pretty good. That a good review on Borer General, that was good,
can
yeah.
Can a child play Get To on Shabbos?
This is not Mrs. Seamus. What? Guess what? We got, guess what? We have a lot more work to do tonight. It's late, I don't want to keep.
You know the game Guess Who?
No. I don't know the game.
Yeah, with the face elimination.
What is the game?
It's almost like an elimination type of game. It would be like memory.
It has a bow rare. Is bow rare attached to it?
It seems to me that it would be. In other words, like this team has these faces and you have the red and the blue. And they ask you a question.
Does he wear glasses?
If he says yes, then they basically slam down all the ones with the glasses. And they hope to have one left, and that one left, then they guess the other person's opponent.
But you're not picking one out specifically. They're all standing up already?
They're all standing up already, and you're slamming them down.
That doesn't make, I don't think there's a problem with
again,
that.
Again, if you play memory, then what about that? In other words, if you put everything out, and a little child is playing memory, and they pick one up, and then it doesn't match, so they put it back.
That's okay. Are you picking a specific one? You don't know what you're picking.
You don't know what you're picking.
Okay.
But when it matches, that's okay.
But then you start memorizing.
But if you know where it is, that's the whole point. If you do, you know, at first it's random, but then you hope, you know, like if you remember, oh, that you know, red card was over there, so then you go back and get that red card.
So what's the problem? You're picking the good from the bad. The game is fine. You're picking the good from the bad because you want this. It's miyad. It's for immediate use, and there's no kli. You like that? This is a good test for your memory. How's that, Mr. Seamus? Good, huh? So, miyad, biyad, and the ika from psoles. The good from the bad for immediate use with your hand. That's all you have to remember, Manny. You got it all down.
Well, yes? Michelle Chavez and I, a lot of dorm don't have pages. They're missing, let's say. So I look at a few of them and I
no
take
problem.
Them out. But then if I go off and I start diving into pages, and then I go back and
no problem. Put it anywhere. No problem. You told it Shabbos morning, the miyad for immediate use. You did it with your hand, right? And you chose the good from the bad. Interesting halacha. Halacha is the davening Shmon Esrei, and a page is missing. You're in the middle of Shmon Esrei. You're allowed to walk from where you are, go back to the place where the Siddurim are, put the one that you have in your hand back and go back to the place where you were davening and continue Shmon Esrei. The halacha is so, in fact, not only if you don't, not familiar with the text of the Shmon Esrei, but if it is my custom to always daven from a siddur, and that's the way I always daven. When I daven Shmon Esrei, it's from a siddur, even though I know it by heart. That even if I am missing a page and know it by heart, I have a right to take that siddur, put it back on the shelf, and walk back to where I am and continue my Shmon Esrei. Interesting halacha, huh?
What,
Maddie, what's happening?
Can you
unlock
the interruption?
Yeah.
We're working on it. I don't know. It's a hard job. Can you take a sitter that has pages missing? You're davening, you see it. Can you then after?
I guess once it's in your hand, you put it where you want to do it. You can put it in this place or that place. Right. Zetov? Zetov? Okay. A very interesting halach application of this is, let's say the shul's making an appeal. So the night before, you have all the cards. You have the people's names. And you're going to push down on the cards, you know, $18, $72, $54. So he wants to set it up and put it down on the different seats. But he's doing it not in the morning before he comes to shul to put it down right away. He wants to do it Friday night or the night before. Before he leaves to shul, before he leaves shul at night, he wants to go ahead and put it down on the chair. And how does he do it? He takes all the cards, and he's going to alphabetize it, right? Or he's going to do it according to the seats that the people have. 1, 2, 3. Not like everyone that comes to his hand is going to run to that chair. He's going to do it in an order. That's called borer, prohibited. Cannot do it yontif, you cannot do it Shabbos. Stand. What you do is, as it comes into your hand, the name is Fred Mailman, run over to Fred's seat. Then you got somebody else's seat, Sam Kugler, then you run to the back. Whatever it is, I'm just kidding. Yeah, this guy's going to lose 30 pounds by the time the whole thing is done. Is that Tov? How do you like that? This is Yofi? I think we have the halacha down. All right, we got things pretty good. Okay, Mietz Hashem, I think we could stop here. I think we've absorbed a lot of material. Next week, we're going to do Mietz Hashem Losh, mixing and kneading. We're going to go over the laws of Losh. We're going to talk about Belila Raka, Belila Ava, a thick mixture, a thin mixture. We're going to talk about the Shinuyim, the different ways in which to prepare it, certain things, you know, when you put in the liquids, you know, immediately create, you know, a unit, you know, a bonding, that's going to be a very serious problem sometimes. Mashed potatoes that you want to do. Yeah, sometimes certain cereals, you know, that we're going to talk about mayonnaise and put it in tuna fish and what we do. And how Shabbos we make shinuyim. Yeah, how we have to, and why on yontif? All of these things won't be necessary. And we're going to talk about the laws of challah. If you bake challah on yontif, what do you do with the challah? Do you have to go ahead and take off the challah? Yeah, the halacha will talk about that. Are you allowed to take off challah? And what we'll do if you forget to take off challah from a challah that you baked before yontif, what do you do on Shabbos or what do you do on yontif with the challah that you forgot to take off before? There's a way to do it outside of Eretz Israel, and in Eretz Israel, you've got big problems if you forgot to take it off. Mietz Hashem, next week we go through the halachas of Losh, and maybe another halacha after that as well. Okay. And Mietz Hashem, 8:15 next week. We'll push off the class to another, give the people a chance to get back. Okay? All right? Very good.
My cousin, Yaakov Shaver, is officially engaged.
Oh, to Bauman. Oh, very nice. Beautiful. Very nice.